Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
We may live over 5,000 miles from Lincoln Financial Field, but what we lack in proximity, we make up for in the film study. And each and every week, we will be bringing you in-depth breakdowns from across the pond and the Sooner State. Welcome to On the Shane Page. I am your host, Shane Half. You can follow me on Twitter at ShaneHalfNFL. And I'm joined by BGN's own film guru, Johnny Page. Give him a follow on Twitter at JohnnyPage9. Johnny, how are you doing this evening?
I thought you were going to mention that we were recording this the week before and you haven't. So now it feels weird opening it saying that, how am I doing? So full disclaimer, some members of BGN are not here. What week would it be? The week beginning the 4th of March or something? Yeah, 4th of March. Yes. So we're recording this the same day we recorded our previous episode where we spoke about the wonderful Nicholas Moreau, Zach Cunningham. And I've forgotten who else we spoke about, even though we just did it, Cox and Graham.
So if you didn't get a hobby, if you didn't take Johnny's advice and get a hobby and you're back this week, kudos. You may notice we're wearing the same stuff. We're recording this literally 3 minutes after Johnny insulted you all. So
I would just like to point out that it was more the fact that no one wants us to go for an hour, not that people shouldn't listen to us. I'd also like to point out that currently on my podcast feed, I just put this up, I believe I have 18 podcasts I subscribe to about the NFL. So I'm going to call nobody sad for having no hobbies. Additionally, in that feed, I have about 4 other podcasts about, you know, one about like health and fitness, a music one. I've got one about English football and a couple of Arsenal ones, actually, and then one about cricket. So I'm not one to talk about culture or hobbies because my downloaded episode is just about 15 podcasts currently saying quarterback and wide receiver rankings. And I listen to the same people or different people, say the same things about the same players. And I continue to get excited, Shane, every year. So I'm in no place to criticize everybody. I'm trying to think about like the worst film reviews I've ever done in my life. I must have broke down some very small players. I mean, I write about every UDFA every year. So, I mean, I when you're grinding like the 8th offensive guard the Eagles have signed as a UDFA and you're looking at like charts about how athletic he is and getting a little bit excited because his arm length is like the 72nd percentile and then he gets cut in like August. I cannot talk about anyone for hobbies because my obsession with sports has become a sad obsession, Shane.
I have several NFL podcasts, a few history podcasts. I listen to a lot of audiobooks, though. But right now, well, by the time the listeners hear this, it'll be over. But I'm a big Age of Empires 2 fan, old school real-time strategy game. And one of their biggest tournaments of the last like 3 years is happening right now. So I'm watching all the archives of that when I get time. Survivor starts tonight. I'm a big Survivor fan as well. So I've got some hobbies, but none of them come close to touching football. So here we are talking about free agent contracts in February. And again, we are recording this on February 28th. It's possible that something will have happened with some of these players that we're talking about today by the time you hear this episode. If that's the case, you'll at least know what our thoughts were before the news broke. So no one can accuse us of being revisionist history people here. We're going to dive in and start with what I think is one of the most interesting ones, and really the only big one on the offensive side of the ball. It's DeAndre Swift. So DeAndre Swift obviously was acquired in the trade from the Lions last offseason. Because he was acquired via trade, he has no dead money on his contract. If he walks, it doesn't cost the Eagles anything. And this was the conclusion of his rookie deal. This will be his first shot at signing a free agent contract. And so he has not made much money, relatively speaking, in the NFL. And he's going to enter free agency in a class that has Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley, Tony Pollard, and Austin Eckler. So it is a pretty deep free agency class at the running back position. SpotTrack set his market value at 4 years, $27.1 million, which is a $6.7 million average annual value. That would make him the eighth highest paid running back in the NFL. Johnny, before we get into the stats, what are your thoughts on Swift? Like, should the Eagles bring him back? What number would you be comfortable at if that's the case?
Oh, I have way too much to talk about DeAndre Swift. Way too much. I don't know why. I think he's just a really interesting player in general. So I'll give you a little bit of as quick a summary as I can, and then we'll get into maybe the stats and the contract stuff. From a pure player point of view, I always put my bias out there. I didn't really love him before the Eagles signed him. I wasn't a big fan of him, and I always wondered why, like, people like David Montgomery got more snaps over him with Detroit. And anyway, and then I watched him and I fell in love with him again. Like, he's just one of the most explosive backs you can possibly see. I predicted Rashard Penny to outcarry him. So this is why you tune in for smart analysis, because Rashard Penny was obviously outstanding last year. I don't know what happened to Rashard Penny, man. I don't know.
I had a great tweet ready to go when Rashard Penny made his first big run, because I tweet the clips during the game. And I was going to tweet the clip and say, Penny, for your thoughts. And I never got a chance to. I sat on that all year and I never got a chance to use it. And it made me sad.
You need to save it for next year when Penny signs and has like 1,000 yards. Make sure you tweet like Penny for Howie Roseman's thoughts when the Eagles like can't run the ball. There you go. We've called it for November. So basically, I think Swift is the kind of running back. And I'm fully biased. Like, whenever people talk about players, I always find an analyst quite annoying when like everyone's biased. Like, if you don't like mobile quarterbacks, then you're going to be harsh on mobile quarterbacks. Like, if you want to put... So I'm going to be openly honest here. I don't like the style of running back that Swift is. I think I'm an old school, like, I want my running back to be a little bit bigger. I want more of a... I like Greg Cosell's term. I want a foundation back rather than a feature back. And it's a bit of a niche term, let's say. Is niche an American word, Shane?
Yes.
All right, good.
Although I think most people say niche. Oh, but weird. I've heard people around here say niche as well.
Right, fair enough. So, like, I like foundation backs, guys that you can give 20 carries to whenever you want. And my issue with Swift is that I think he wears down as the season goes on. I think he gets less explosive. I think he wears down in games as well. If you go back and look at the film for like the first 6 weeks, which I've done because I've just written about him. In fact, by the time you're listening to this, you probably read my article already. I think he got worse as the year went on. So I think he's an incredibly explosive back. I think he is outstanding in space. He's good in screens. He's good in the short game. His agility in tight spaces is as good as it gets. Like, his tempo is, I think, what makes him really special at times, is when like he stops, start, acceleration, that kind of thing that you just see where linebackers just take terrible angles and you can't figure out why. I think the issue is he sucked in pass protection, like really was not good, and I was surprised. And full disclaimer, last year when I watched him, I called him good in pass protection. This year in my film review, I said I was wrong. He wasn't good. So I accept it. Like, I actually said, to be fair, last year, I said more than willing. I said, you don't want him pass protecting, but he can do it. I think I would go further than that and say you don't want him ever pass protecting, like, full stop. The issue I have with him is he doesn't push a pile forward. He is not going to get you 5 yards when you block for three. He's not going to get you 6 when you block for 4. I don't think he like grinds down defenses. I don't think he wears defenses down. I think he does a little bit too much at times. And as I said, he gets worse as the season goes on. I think the other really interesting thing to point out, Shane, is that he had 23 of his 39 catches in the first 6 weeks. Like, I looked up that stat for the article and I had to go through it a few times. Like, say what? Like, he was really effective at the start. We spoke about it, like how that was going to be a big part of the offense. And then it just died.
Like, I remember wondering.
It just went away.
I think it was in a podcast with you. I do a lot of podcasts. I get confused. But I think I remember having a conversation with you early in the season as to, are the Eagles throwing the ball to Swift too much? Like, and now at the end of the year, it's like, wow, they just totally stopped throwing the ball to the running backs.
Like, to give you an idea, Shane, against the Rams, which is what, the 8th of October or something, so week 5, 6 receptions on 6 targets. The Jets, the following week later, 8 receptions on 10 targets. Then the following week, 3. Then after that, these are receptions. 2, 2, 3, 1, 2, 0, 2, 1, 0. Like, and then playoffs, he actually had 4, so he was slightly up again, but that game was basically dead, wasn't it? like he ended up with 214 receiving yards as well, which isn't really like, it was more check down, like averaging 5 yards a catch. Like, it's not really an efficient. So basically my thoughts on Swift before we get into the contract, I mean, I'll let you go, is I am not paying him anywhere close to 4 years, 27. So Miles Sanders got 4 year 25 with 13 guaranteed. So I'm going to say Swift will want slightly more than that. And you mentioned he hasn't been paid before. Let's assume then, for argument's sake, he gets like, let's say a team plays him 4 years, 27. I'm going to guess like 14, 15 is guaranteed. I just don't want to do that. I'm not a big believer in paying running backs anyway, in general. That's a lie. I'm a big believer in paying really good running backs. If I pay a running back, I want you to be elite. I want you to carry my offense. Like, I want you to be a huge part of the offense. I'm not paying a complimentary piece. Like, the running backs I'm playing are your Christian McCaffrey's, your Nick Chubb's, your Saquon Barkley's. Like, you need to be a difference maker. And you need to, on bad weeks, carry the team. I don't think Swift does that. I still think he's a complimentary piece. I think Miles Sanders was a complimentary piece. I mean, the Panthers got it wrong paying him. I think we're going to look at Swift's numbers in a second, but his numbers are good, but not great. And he played behind an incredible offensive line, which gives me pause for thought. I wouldn't bring him back. I think if I do bring him back, I give him like a 1 year prove it deal. I don't know what the money is, but it's, let's say, like, I don't know, what would he sign? Josh Jacobs got 1 year, 11 million last year. He's nowhere near as good as Josh Jacobs. 1 year, 7, maybe he'd sign that 1 year, 8. Maybe the idea that he'll ball out this year and get a bigger contract. And even that, I'm not sure he's worth that much money. I would rather draft a back or go all out and like go and get a real difference maker who's young, but that's also not ideal cap wise. I hate not paying running backs because I feel really mean, just like saying don't pay running backs. And I think you should pay running backs. Like, look at Christian McCaffrey. He is unbelievable. He is worth every penny. I don't think Swift is good enough. However, I will say, I think they've got a coach who may be in Kellen Moore who knows how to use a type of back like Swift. But even when he used Tony Pollard a lot, when he was really good at Pollard, Pollard was not the foundation guy. Pollard was a cheap rookie who played behind the guy. If Swift was like in his final year as a rookie, brilliant. I don't think you can commit to him as a foundation piece. And I also think it's almost certain that Kenny Gainwell's back, I believe. I'm right in saying, like, money-wise.
He's got another year on his deal.
And Gainwell's like a bit of a budget Swift in some ways. Like, save $7 million, go and get a foundation back. Gainwell's your back too. I think I can live with that. So I think Swift's really explosive, and I think Swift can be really good. And I also don't devalue running backs. Like, I think a good running back is incredibly important to an offense. I'm just not there with Swift. Give me your opinion and also run through the stats whilst you do so.
Yeah, I would love to have Swift back in like a $5 million average annual value sort of range. I think 6.7 up to 7. I think that's too rich for my blood. I definitely think it's too rich for the Eagles' blood. One thing that could work in their favor is he's got connections to Philadelphia. He was excited to be in Philadelphia. He knows he's playing behind a good offensive line. So that could swing things in their favor. And also, there's a lot of names in free agency this year. And I mean, you're not going to prioritize DeAndre Swift over Saquon Barkley, over Josh Jacobs. So that might, you know, it's already a depressed market. I think, you know, maybe if he doesn't sign a contract quickly, maybe his agent's not liking what they hear and he decides to come back to Philadelphia, either for another year to put up another good season, stay healthy, and then get into a different running back free agency market that doesn't have all these guys, or to sign a longer term deal. So I would be interested if you could get him in like the $5 million range. I think getting up closer to 7 is just too rich for my blood. And one of the other things people have to keep in mind also is just consider the offensive line that he's playing behind. Now, obviously, the Eagles offensive line wasn't as good this year, but one of the numbers that really sticks out to me from the stats is his rushing yards over expectation per attempt, which uses next-gen stats tracking models. He averaged negative 0.29 rushing yards over expectation. So he was getting less yards than expected on average on his runs. He ranked 37th out of 51 qualifying backs in that regard. And I just like, I like Swift. This is not me being anti-Swift. I'd love to have him back. I like you said, though, I don't think he's a game changer at running back. He's better than just a guy, but he's not a game changer. Now, what hurts the Eagles here is the only back they have under contract for next year is Kenny Gainwell. And it is not a great draft for running backs. There's nobody that's going to go in the first round as a running back this year. Not that the Eagles would take one, but running backs are just, it's sort of, the value is depressed in the draft this year. There's not a lot of these top guys. And some of the top guys, guys like Bucky Irving out of Oregon, they're better pass catcher, scat back type guys. And you have that with Kenny Gainwell. So I don't know how the Eagles will sort that out, but I certainly wouldn't pay SpotTrac value there for DeAndre Swift. Unless, you know, if he was willing to sign a 1-year deal at $7 million, I'd do that. Your cap's not a big issue this year. Maybe you can go try to make a run to a Super Bowl in this season and you do that, but I wouldn't sign him to a long-term deal at that.
Yeah, that's where I am. And I don't think someone will. I think sometimes when people talk about money, like, it's very easy to say, like, oh, he'll do this. And I'm like, well, someone's got to pay him it. Like, someone's got to have watched that film from last year and think, I know there are some stupid teams out there who will maybe go overboard, like the Panthers were with Sanders last year. Final thing on Swift, then we'll move on. It's funny because I obviously have already written my article, so I'm reading it here, but it's not been published yet. I mentioned that 37th in rushing yards over expectation, and I said, literally, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert in running back stats, but it doesn't feel great to be 37th in rushing yards over expectation. And the other one was 48th in yards after contact. That's an issue I had last year in terms of like contact balance and breaking tackles. And the other one, he ranked 18th in explosive rate. Considering how good the offensive line is and how good the Eagles running game and how explosive Swift is, 18th's pretty disappointing. Like, I would want a back to be top 10 in explosive rate when you consider the line that you're playing behind and the offense you're in. So yeah, I think that's a little bit disappointing. Anyway, have you got anything else on Swift? Because I'm pretty much out. I think we're on a similar opinion on him as well.
Yeah. Go read Johnny's article. It'll have a lot more in-depth than that. But let's move on to the guy that everybody loves to hate. It's James Bradbury. And let me tell you why he's going to end up being on this team next year, Johnny. So I'm putting up on his screen, up on the screen here, his contract. His contract is a little complicated. He signed a 3-year, $38 million deal with the Eagles last offseason that has 4 void years. This would be the second year of that deal. Now, there is a contract trigger in his contract that kicks in on March 13th when he's due bonuses. Basically, if they are going to do something pre-June 1, they will do it before March 13th. So if they cut him pre-June 1, he would hit the cap for $17 million in dead cap in 2024, which is $12 million more than his contract. So it would actually cost the Eagles $12 million more dollars to cut him pre-June 1st. If they post-June 1 release him, then they actually save $150,000 off of keeping him this year, and then that $12.5 million dead cap is waiting there in 2025. So here's the thing, though. If they keep him one more year, this is the bottom numbers here on the screen if you're looking. If they keep him one more year, then next year they can post June 1 release him. And it would cost them $3.5 million in 25 dead cap and $8.9 million in 26 dead cap. If they pre-June 1 him, it would cost $12.5 million in dead cap in 2025. Here's where I'm at with him. I want him off this team. I don't want to watch him play anymore. But the thing is, basically the difference between a post-June 1 release this year and a pre-June 1 release next year, you can see those dead cap numbers for 25 are the same. So the difference in those two scenarios is paying him $150,000 to keep him on the roster this year and kicking that cap and then saving that post-June 1 designation. So honestly, if James Bradbury is not on the Eagles roster next year, it will be not for cap reasons. It will be just because they want the roster spot, because essentially they can keep him next year for $150,000 and it helps their cap out down the road, which is why, unfortunately for Eagles fans, I'm almost certain James Bradbury will be on this roster in 2024.
Right, so I'm going to give two different sides to this. Firstly, I'm going to give the side that if he is on the roster, maybe like Eagles fans should have some positive takes. First of which, he was used badly last year, so he played in the slot way too often. I think Harry Roseman said today, I'm talking today, this was recorded 2 weeks earlier. So when he was asked before the combine, he's basically an outside cornerback. He's not slot cornerback. Secondly, I think he's a really good zone corner, or he was a really good zone corner. So I think Fangio's style of defense will be better suited. I think he was good under Gannon. And I imagine someone like Fangio will want to work with him and see what he's got. You have laid out the perfect case, Shane, for every single bit of logic being that Bradbury almost has to stay. And I'm going to tell you to screw your logic, and I think he's going to be cut. I think sometimes you have to just like rip the Band-Aid off. And I think where I think this is interesting for the Eagles is I think they're going to add a big cornerback, like as in a big money or a high draft pick. Then I think you look at that room and I think you're looking at, number one, Bradbury doesn't play special teams. And he's an expensive guy. He's going to want to play. You don't want him in the locker room if he's not starting. I don't want him as like your cornerback five or six. You're going to have Slay. You're going to have insert new signing. You're going to have Maddox. Then you're going to have Ringo. Then you're going to have Eli Ricks potentially. Who knows about Josh Jobe? Like, you're already up to like five. And I just think it's a waste of a roster spot. Like, if he can't play and he was terrible towards the end of last year, like that Seahawks game was bad. Like, if you get him in training and Fangio watches the film and goes, yeah, listen, I don't really care about him. I don't want to work with him. He's not going to start. We want to keep other cornerbacks that can also play special teams. As I mentioned, Slay, new guy, Maddox, Ricks, Ringo. That's five already. You're going to keep six, maybe Josh Jobe, maybe someone else. I'm not missing anyone at cornerback, am I?
I think you mentioned the main guys. Slay, yeah. Slay, Maddox, a draft pick, maybe Ringo, Ricks, Jobe, McPherson.
And of course, like, I see McPherson as well. Of course, like, Roby's gone. Like, Maddox might go as well. We'll talk about him in a second, actually. But I just think at some point, like, I know the money makes no sense, but you don't want the guy to be there. You don't want the guy to play for you. The guy's not good enough to play for you. He doesn't play special teams. I'm not sure how good he is in the locker room because does he want to be there? I think at some point you just say, screw it. Like, I think there is it's hard to take. And I think money-wise, it doesn't work. And I think you are right. Logic points that he should be back. I'm not there yet. I think if he is fully done and the athleticism's like gone, then I think like essentially screw it. And cut, just rip the Band-Aid off, just do it. And I wouldn't be shocked if the Eagles do that either.
Yeah, and he was exceptionally bad last year. On the screen, I've got some of his stats. Among 122 qualifying cornerbacks, and to qualify, you had to play 300 or more snaps. He gave up the most touchdowns in the NFL at 9, ranked 122nd. He ranked 109th in defensive pass interferences. He was flagged for 4 of those. He ranked 100th in passer rating allowed, 63rd in yards per coverage snap, 71st in EPA per target, 94th in broken tackle plus missed tackle rate. If you want to look at PFF grades, he was 98th on defensive grade, 100th on coverage grade. I find it interesting that PFF graded him so well as a tackler. He was 14th in tackling grade, but he's 94th in missed tackle rate. I'm not sure how that it's two different charting services, but I'm interested in how that happens. But see, I'm on the flip side. If you're going to bring Bradbury back and play him, I think it has to be as a slot cornerback where you can protect him a little more. I don't think you can put him outside anymore. Although, you know, we talked about in the Fangio scheme, they will run those cover six sort of looks where you have a cornerback that presses off the line and then is in a flat zone, and maybe that's a decent fit for Bradbury, but the deep speed really went this year, and he should have been benched midseason, and I think the Eagles regret that they didn't do that because Ringo should have got a lot more snaps this year.
Yeah, that's like not what I want. Not sure that's what anyone wants, to be honest. So I think, as I've said, Band-Aid, rip it off, cut him unless he's going to start, and if he's going to start, then next year's not going to be too fun unless he finds some form. I will say just a little bit, he was used badly last year at times. So I feel a little bit sorry for him in some reasons. But not too sorry for him because he gets paid very well and he didn't play very well. So, as I said earlier, screw him. Band-aid off. Move on. Younger cornerbacks. And let's move on.
As one of my buddies always says, he can go cry into a bag of money.
I think Bradbury's done more than well enough. And I think, to be fair, he was very good for the Eagles the year before. But I don't think he didn't play very well last year. Let's leave it at that.
I'll just put this out there. If BGN or anybody else wants to pay me 3 years, $38 million to misuse me as a podcaster, I'll talk about whatever you want. We can do a knitting podcast and I'll be really bad at it and I'll take the criticisms and the money. So let's move on to another guy in the secondary. This was a midseason acquisition. Let's talk Kevin Byard. Kevin Byard has 1 year, $14.2 million left on his contract. The Eagles can cut him and free up $13.5 million of that. So they would be on the hook for $700,000. But I think there is zero chance that Kevin Byard will be back on that contract. It's if the Eagles, if he'll be willing to try to work with the Eagles for some sort of extension and lesser salary. He's certainly not worth that contract. But we can take a look at some of his stats here. I was really excited when they got Byard. These stats are all out of 96 qualifying safeties. Again, stats from Sports Info Solutions. You can find these on my Twitter account. Now, not all of these stats are with the Eagles. Again, this is his cumulative season stats. But he was targeted the ninth most among all safeties and gave up the second most completions. And his completion percentage was one of the worst in the league. He gave up a 73.7% completion percentage. And again, take that for what it's worth, because that's hard to chart out sometimes. But his passer rating allowed was a 107, which ranked 70th. His EPA per target ranked 71st. His success rate allowed ranked 86th. Now, he was a good tackler. He ranked fourth in tackles with 127. He was second in broken tackle plus missed tackle rate at only 5.2%. If you look at the PFF grades, PFF liked him better than SIS did. They had him ranked 23rd on total defense grade, 8th in run defense, 2nd in tackling, and 35th in coverage. I think you look at Kevin Byard and you look at Reed Blankenship and Sidney Brown. That's all you have right now at safety. And Sidney Brown's probably going to start the year on the PUP list with his ACL injury. I would like to see Byard back, obviously at a dramatically lower cap number. I would not pay him $14 million next year. But if the Eagles could bring him back, I would be fine with bringing Byard back as a starter next year. I would still want to draft a safety to try to develop, to, be that third guy, whatever. But I didn't think Byard wasn't what I hoped for last year. It's also hard to evaluate him in the context of the disaster that was the Eagles' defense. But I don't think he was as bad as I think some people just think like everyone on the defense is bad because of the defense was bad. And I don't think Byard was like prohibitively bad. I just think he was in an awful situation personally.
I like this episode, Shane, because we're disagreeing. I think he's bad. Okay. I think he was bad. There you go. Bit him. As I said about Bradbury, I'm going to go on my screw him mindset. I didn't like watching Kevin Byard last year. Full disclosure, like I've always said this, I try and be as honest as I possibly can on here. I'm never ever gonna pretend to be like something I'm not. So just so you can, I can tell everyone, because if you find it anyway, I will tweet what I said about Kevin Byard when they signed him. This is based on the film review of what I watched. I said the Eagles needed to add another safety if they were serious about competing. I hate to pick on individuals, which apparently I don't on this podcast, but anyway, but I have repeatedly said how bad Terrell Edmunds has been this year, and he was very bad. So obviously, I love this trade. Byard is a top coverage safety, and he'll make a huge difference. I think Byard and Blankenship is an excellent starting duo. All of a sudden, the safety room looks a lot better than it did previously. Never doubt Howie Roseman. What a fun time that part of the season was, Shane. Oh, that excitement in the air in that article in November 2nd, when Super Bowl dreams were there. I just didn't think it worked. Like, I'll be honest, I didn't think it worked. I had some concerns about Byard in the article that I looked at. So I'm looking at some of, like, my weaknesses per se. I think he's more of, like, a zone coverage safety. I didn't I just don't think it worked. Like, I'm trying to explain like why I didn't like it. Like, he didn't seem to me to move very well at all in coverage. Like, I think he may have lost it. And I think when you lose it, it may not be coming back. I think what scares me is that Fangio likes to play a lot more like free match, or like a lot more like fire zone blitzes, sending five, like cover three, cover nine, whatever fancy word you want to call it. But I think if you have to bring him down into like the box to cover, it's not his game. Like, he couldn't cover tight ends last year, and I think safeties need to be able to cover tight ends in this scheme. Like, I really liked Marcus Epps, and I really liked Jaunty Gardner-Johnson, and I was gutted that we lost both of them, and I said last year we couldn't have. Like, I didn't see it. Like, I didn't like Edmonds at all, so I'm not there. I think Byard does like everything well. I think his brain, like, he sees it. He just can't do it athletically anymore. And I would be willing to go in another direction. Like, I don't know what the direction is. It needs to be a vet. I might be tempted to like splash at safety and go big, because I think the Eagles need one. I don't know what Kayvon Wallace's contract situation he got last year. But I always liked Wallace as like a depth piece. Like, I think he got like a, I don't know what contract he got last year, but if there's someone like a Wallace to step in and maybe play a little bit until like, until Sidney Brown's back. But I would like something else. I think Byard has it all there. I think mentally he gets it. I think he's in the right position. I think he's lost it. I think he's lost the athleticism. And maybe he gets it back. Off season, we see players get better. I mentioned Fletcher Cox last week. We said about how he had a better 2023, even 2022. It can happen. But I wouldn't bank on it. I'd be happy for him not to return, if I'm being honest.
It looks like Kevon Wallace will be an unrestricted free agent this cycle. So there you go, Johnny, making the connections here.
That will get everyone excited.
I would not be happy about Kevon Wallace coming back at all.
Me neither. I was just pointing out, but like, the Eagles could probably do better for cheaper. I think. Yeah. I just didn't see it athletically. Right. Let's go to the final one.
Yeah. $5 million. If he'd come back at $5 million, I'd do it. He won't, because that's way too large of a pay cut. And so I don't think he'll be back at all. But I wouldn't bring him back anywhere close to that $14 million number. And I don't think he'll come down. So ultimately, I think he'll be gone. But I would like it if they could figure out a way to bring him back cheaply.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Okay, on to the last guy. We've referenced him before, Avante Maddox. He is on the final year of a three-year, $22.5 million deal that had three void years tacked on to the end. He is currently set to count $9.6 million against the cap for 2024. If the Eagles cut him pre-June 1st, it would save them $1.9 million. So he would, you do the math, he would count, what, $7 million. If they post June 1 cut him, it would save the Eagles $7.1 million this year and then cost them $5.1 million next year in dead cap. So if he plays out the final year of his deal and then walks in free agency, it would cost the Eagles that same $7.1 million. So if they extend him, they can kick that dead cap can down the road further. However, it is worth mentioning that in the last 2 years combined, Maddox has played in only 16 of 38 possible games. Prior to last season, I would have said he's one of the best slot defenders in the NFL. He looked really bad last year. Now, granted, it was a season opener, and then he got hurt, and then coming off of an almost season-long injury into a different defensive scheme. But he's someone the Eagles could conceivably move on from for cap reasons and injury concern reasons.
Yeah, that's it's a sad one. I really like Maddox as a player. Like, he's really good. Similar to Byard, actually, I don't know if he's there. I think the injuries may have hit him too much. I think athletically he may be gone. I think he's a really good player. I think when he's fit, he's a really good player. I think he'd fit the scheme. I think he can almost fit all schemes, to be honest. I think he's really, really good. I think in Vic Fangio's sort of system, I think the nickel might be the most important player, like, if not one of the most important players alongside safety. And I think you're massively taking a huge risk if you re-sign Maddox and expect him to be the guy. I also think basically every Eagles cornerback on the roster is a better outside corner than inside corner. I'm talking like potential starters here. I think they're outside guys. When Maddox came back, he was not the same guy. He was good basically his whole career. I've seen him. He did not have it. Now, what I would hope is that maybe he'll sign such a cheap deal, essentially, that they can like kick it down and he can like be a guy and they can still add another guy. But I don't know. It sucks because Maddox is one of my favorite players. I think he's physical. He's good in coverage. He's
really good run defender.
Really good run defender. Like, could end up as a safety. The old, oh, it could be a safety. That end up a generic trope. But I do like him a lot. He just didn't work. Like, he just didn't work when he came back, man. He just wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough. And I don't know how much of that was just last year, but like, he's been injured so much. I'm guessing that he just doesn't have it anymore. And that means, as much as it pains me to say, I would pass.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's ultimately what's going to happen. And that's probably the direction that I would go as well. We mentioned how crowded the cornerback room is and the fact that they're probably going to, you know, they've got Isaiah Rogers. That's the guy we didn't mention earlier.
That's the guy. I knew there was one more. Yeah. Bradbury, as I said, bye-bye.
People have talked about Rogers in the slot. He's not a slot cornerback. Now that doesn't mean he couldn't play there, but he traditionally hasn't. So, and they're probably going to want to draft somebody, like you said. So it is a crowded room. I think Maddox probably does not survive his injury history / how he played down the stretch. The Eagles will move on.
Just very quickly before we finish, I know you mentioned the cap stuff, but I'm just going over it now and double checking. What's the best move for them to do then? Because if he does get cut, when are you expecting it to be? Is it pre-cut or is it post? I know you mentioned it, but I'm reading the numbers now and double checking I heard you.
It depends. So you only get two post June 1st designations.
That's the other thing I was forgetting. Yeah.
Assuming Fletcher Cox doesn't come back, like we said, we don't expect, that's one of your post June ones already. And then I would assume they would post June 1 Bradbury, because if they pre June 1 him, it costs them an additional $12 million. So if that's the case, if Cox and Bradbury are both gone, you're out of post June 1s. But cutting him pre June 1, Maddox saves the Eagles almost $2 million this year. And then there's no dead cap for him in 2025 when the dead cap for those other guys hits. So that's probably what I would be looking at to happen with Maddox if the Eagles move on.
Got it. I'm glad you're the cap man and not me. Yeah, it sucks, man. I won't be sad to see Bradbury go. Byard, who cares? He was here for a year. Swift here for a year. Maddox will hurt. Like, I loved Maddox. It's funny when you write film pieces, you have like connections with guys you wrote about ages ago. And I remember writing about Avonte Maddox absolutely years ago, like when he first joined. I remember like really breaking him down. So it's sad when people that leave like that you remember. And I think he's a really, really good player when healthy. I just think his body might have gone, sadly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's unfortunate when injuries sap a guy's career like that. But it does certainly seem like that may be what has happened to Maddox. And who knows? Maybe, hopefully, we're on here eating crow next offseason talking about what a year Avonte Maddox had. That's certainly what we will hope for. But that's going to about do it here for our free agent preview. Obviously, there's guys we didn't talk about Olamide Zaccheaus, Quez Watkins, Rashad Penny, Boston Scott, probably all gone. But we didn't really feel the need to dive too deeply into those. So before we get out of here, Johnny, do you have anything else that you want to throw out there?
Yeah, final thought. Boston Scott, like RB3, RB4, why not? Who cares? Bring him back, minimum deal if you want. Rashad Penny, goodbye, because the Eagles hate you. And I don't even know what the hell happened there. Quez Watkins, goodbye, unless they're mental. Zaccheaus, I would resign cheaply because I think Zaccheaus can play. But why the hell would he come back? Yeah. I'd be furious with the Eagles this year, just like Rashad Penny would be. Like, Rashad Penny healthy sounds good, Shane, for running back. Sign that guy. He can play. But why he would want to come back, Penny or Zaccheaus? I mean, Penny obviously has no way he's coming back. He must hate us. The first ever, like, injury-free year. I don't even play. So still he was, like, there and didn't get a run at all. And if I was Zaccheaus, I'd be fuming. I'd be thinking, what more have I got to do to play more? So I don't expect any of that lot to bring to be back, personally.
Counterpoint. Rashad Penny might love the Eagles because they paid him and he didn't get hurt. And that's never happened in his career. So maybe he should keep signing 1-year deals with the Eagles to be a game day inactive and just stay healthy.
There's worse jobs in the world, isn't there?
There sure is. I would be a clipboard holder for sure.
Yeah. Pay me $5 million to hold the ball at running back and get back 2 snaps and then go for it.
I'm out on the 2 snaps. I don't want the 2 snaps. I wouldn't, yeah, I would point. Not I remain may, injury
I,
free.
I may die. Yeah, I might die if I take 2 snaps and, you know, for running back. So maybe rather not. Maybe, like, give me $2 million and I'll sit on the bench. I'll fake an injury if they call my number anyway. So it's all good. It's all good.
Just stumble getting the handoff and fall down in the backfield. But then they're going to dive on you to get you down. So that doesn't work either. You're just out of luck.
Yeah, I just won't play. I just won't play, Shane.
Yeah, can't find my helmet, coach. I don't know where it went. So, all right. Well, that is going to do it for this episode of On the Shane Page. Again, we mentioned a couple times, recorded on February 28th. So moves may have happened with these guys. And if so, we'll react to them next week as well. But we will be back next week with a new episode of On the Shane Page. Until then, go Birds.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.